Hello, I'm Jason Rugard of the Movie Mavericks Podcast. Welcome to a special summer show. Every Friday, I'll be taking a week-by-week look back at the summer of 1990. This was a box office season that was amongst the most competitive and influential in movie-going history. On each show, I'll be chronicling the performance, critical response, and historical relevance of the biggest hits and costliest misfires that shaped the summer of 1990. Episode 9, July 20th to the 22nd, 1990. July 20th saw the release of two films. One was a Steven Spielberg-produced horror comedy, and the other was a Top Gun-inspired film starring Charlie Sheen. One would be a modest hit, and the other an outright flop. Our first film is Arachnophobia.
The Jennings family has just moved to the small town of Canaima.
Oh, Ross, smell that air.
Oh, God.
In search of a simpler life.
Want to blow up a bullfrog?
Okay.
It's the perfect place.
Goodbye, crime. Goodbye, grime.
Except for one pesky little problem.
Come with me and look at the web.
The web?
I have a terrible fear of spiders.
Come on, we live in the country now. It's time to work through this irrational, paralyzing terror.
It's not irrational.
Hollywood Pictures and Amblin Entertainment present Jeff Daniels.
Honey, we're in the living room. We need you to kill a spider.
And John Goodman.
Over McClintock, infestation management.
I was just a spider.
Would anybody object if I tore this floor out?
I would.
False alarm, then lead on. There's no spider here.
Every so often in a little town somewhere, there is a health scare.
There's a rumor going around that some kind of spider might have killed Sam Metcalf.
Doubtful.
Spiders make convenient culprits.
There's no spider here.
I think one of your Venezuelan spiders hitched a ride here.
There may be some spiders around here that are very dangerous.
Dad, chill out.
Just run.
They spread out from a central nest in a web-like pattern and dominate the entire area. When that happens, this town is dead.
Better uncork my private stock.
Arachnophobia opened in the third spot on the weekend top 10 list, with an $8 million gross, or $17 million adjusted for today, and would leg out to $53 million, or around $113 million in today's dollars. It held up well in the face of stiff competition in the oncoming weeks, and proved to be a modest hit for Buena Vista, who already had more than a few successes during the summer of 1990. The film was directed by longtime producer Frank Marshall. Marshall, along with his producing partner Kathleen Kennedy, had been instrumental in aiding director Steven Spielberg's Indiana Jones series, Gremlins, and The Goonies to the big screen, just to name a few. It was now time for Spielberg to return the favor and act as producer for the directing debut of Frank Marshall. The creative minds pooled their considerable resources and intellect in concocting a film in the tradition of Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. The movie stars Jeff Daniels as a family man who harbors a fear of spiders. The actor claimed he was okay with shooting the small creatures, but he took issue with the larger arachnids. However, all were in awe of John Goodman's nonchalant attitude toward the eight-legged animals. The production required two species of spiders. The first, the arachnid that hitches a ride from South America to California, needed to measure about 1 foot across. The filmmakers found their star in a bird-eating tarantula native to the Amazon. However, there was only one such spider in the United States. Frank Marshall nicknamed the spider Big Bob after director Robert Zemeckis, and the production team painted purple stripes on the back of Big Bob and added a prosthetic abdomen to give him greater bulk. The effects obviously worked, as summertime audiences found themselves drawn to and repulsed by the film. The popularity of the picture would be enough for it to finish right outside of the top 20 grossing films of 1990. I had never seen this movie, and in doing my diligent research for the show, I decided it was about time to screen it. I find the film to be a highly effective thrill machine. It has just the right amount of humor to gross out gags, and the John Goodman character is a standout. Even though I'm 29 years late to the party, Arachnophobia has found a new fan in this host. Our last film is Navy SEALs.
when danger is its own reward.
We'll move out together, only together.
There are men who will go anywhere.
You guys are crazy.
Proud of it, baby.
Dare anything.
We're SEAL Team. We're here to get you out.
They're Navy SEALs.
Send me when I'm hot.
An elite fighting force.
You don't gotta love it, you just gotta do it.
Who don't know how to lose.
Navy SEALs are paid to take risks. They're paid to die if necessary.
We go in there, we hit them, and forget them. That's what we do.
There's more to it than that.
Come on, Lieutenant. What are the SEALs up to?
Nothing special.
Training.
Sounds like fun.
One is a leader.
Let me take my team back in there.
The other, a daredevil.
Yeah! That's Hawkins.
That's normal?
No, that's abnormal.
I told you to stay put.
What do you want from me, huh?
You still don't get it, do you?
You're looking for a rush. Well, I hope you got it.
Together, they're America's designated hitters against terrorism.
You're involved.
I don't create the news. I report it.
If America kills our people, then our people will kill Americans.
You're going to Lebanon, baby. That's all you gotta know.
Born to risk.
We're gonna have company.
Body just got bigger. Trained to win.
This doesn't look good.
It just got worse.
Charlie Sheen. Michael Biehn. Joanne Wally Kilmer. Navy SEALs.
Arriving 4 years after Top Gun, but lacking in every major category, is the Charlie Sheen-led Navy SEALs. It opened with $6 million, or $14 million adjusted, and quickly sunk off the charts, totaling out at $25 million, $53 million in today's money, or a fraction of Top Gun's grosses. The story was reportedly inspired by writer Chuck Pefar's real SEAL career. However, that is hard to believe with all the ridiculous nonsense contained within the film's 113-minute running time. The movie stars Charlie Sheen, a long way from his turn in Oliver Stone's excellent work, Platoon, as a hotshot maverick member of an elite SEAL team squad. He is supported by James Cameron alumni Michael Bane and Bill Paxton, as well as Dennis Haysbert and Rick Rossovich. And in another odd connection to Top Gun, Navy SEALs features Joanne Wiley Kilmer, wife at the time of Val Kilmer. It was long fabled that Sheen turned down the role of Maverick that would make Tom Cruise a superstar. Perhaps this was Sheen's way of making up for the colossal error in career management, but Navy SEALs would turn out to be a somewhat laughable, pale imitation of that previously mentioned blockbuster. It was directed with little style or energy by Louis Teague, a filmmaker who specialized in passionless, job-for-hire projects. The production was dubbed by Michael Bane as the worst experience of his professional life. Navy SEALs would fare better as a home video rental, where it would find its largest audience. I saw this movie for the first time on an early form of pay-per-view. Growing up, I really adored the movie, acting out scenes with my neighborhood friends, but even back then, we recognized that the movie was a second-tier production. If you're interested in my further ruminations on Navy SEALs, check out my hour-long retro episode with my Movie Maverick co-host, Trevor Anderson. That's going to wrap up today's show. Join me next Friday as I look back at Presumed Innocent and Problem Child. Thanks for listening.